What are you doing up at this hour of the night?
What are you doing up at this hour of the night?
Prevention of crime. Every hour of the day and night.
Movie.
Break.
Is the team that protects your property and you.
Hey folks, there we are with another movie break interview, and I'm here with Sophia Wilde and Sandra Jensen, the two main actresses of the new horror movie Talk to Me, which is running at Berlinale where we are right now. Hi Sophia and Sandra.
Hi.
So let me know, how has it been for you to show this movie at Berlinale so far?
I mean, so exciting. Amazing. Kind of like a bit of a dream come true, I think, for all of us, really.
And a whirlwind.
Like, yeah.
It's been such a journey, and it's so nice to be here in Berlin and be together. It's great.
Because if you heard about Talk to Me, it had a great run at Sundance, and now it's kind of a little secret sensation among moviegoers who like horror movies. Horror movies very rarely show at A-list film festivals. Do you have any idea why that is, or why people think that horror is kind of a lesser genre?
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, yeah. I don't really know what that's about.
And it's crazy because I feel like in horror films, you get some of the craziest, most wide-ranged performances.
So true.
So, I don't know. But in the past few years, some of my favorite films have been like Hereditary and Midsommar, and I classify them with horroristic elements.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure why.
I totally agree with you. Like, if you think about like Get Out or Under the Shadow, which was a great Iranian horror movie, there's so many great movies which qualify as horror. And yours is about a kind of a particular vein of horror movies, like an occult thriller. Would you like to tell a little bit about the whole idea and what you think is at the heart of this story?
I mean, I think, you know, like, it's thematically, like, I think connection is such a big part of it. And, you know, it's definitely an exploration of kind of mental health and grief and
addiction.
Like, it deals with like a lot of themes.
Which is amazing, and to have it in a film, and it's kind of a tight-knit, smallish cast with really unique characters that represent each of those wants and needs, and
Sophia, you play the main character who hopes to come into connection with her late mother via some magic tool which allows her to kind of summon the dead, even if it's only for a short period of time. So, which is kind of a potent metaphor for how we struggle to let go of people which are not there anymore. How did you connect to those themes?
I mean, I guess, like, I think, you know, ideas around loss and desire and you know, seeking connection are, you know, so universal. So I think it's like, it's kind of easy to resonate with those things, because they're things that people go through all the time.
And Sandra, you play her best friend. Are you two also friends in real life?
No, actually, like, what's so nice about filming was Soph and I genuinely like each other, became best friends, and which made it so much nicer on set, because it felt like we kind of had, we could do the scary scenes and go emotionally the distance and have someone there to pull us back and joke around and sort of check in, so... Which is so nice to have.
Yeah, the joking feels very genuine, you know? It's like not awkward, but this kind of special chemistry which is there among people who really like and know each other. So, and how was working with the directors? They're kind of like up-and-coming stars, and most people who know them or knew them before, like at least in Europe, I would say, is via their YouTube work. So, which is kind of more like offbeat banter and a lot of dark humor. So, I was kind of surprised how straight this movie works, because it's kind of like a you know, quality production. It's not like one of those more trashy, weird movies which I would have expected from their YouTube work. So, did you know what you were into when you signed up for them?
I mean, because I hadn't really watched Raka Raka like content before, but then obviously I like watched it when I signed on to the film. But I think, you know, like Causeway, which is the production company, are amazing. You know, they did the Babadook, they did the Nightingale, like films that I really love and respect, and I respect their integrity, and like I knew that they were gonna, if they're going to do a film, it's going to be a film of worth and a film of quality. And even just reading the script, I was like, that's a fucking fantastic script.
Yeah.
And like Danny and Michael are just like so insanely talented. It's, yeah. And they're so specific, and they knew exactly what they wanted and knew exactly the kind of film that they wanted to make.
Yeah.
And I think when you have that energy around you, you kind of really trust the process and yeah. you trust that you're like making something of worth. And that's because of them. Because, you know, they're visionary.
So are they, like, how are they as directors? Are they more like straight and like slipping to this strict persona? Okay, now you do this.
Chaos.
It's chaos.
It's like, yeah, control of chaos.
Yeah.
But the funnest time, like, majority of the shoot was night shoots, so we'd be doing scenes at 4 a.m. and their energy would be the same at 12 o'clock in the day. Like, they just are so hyped and so excited to be there, and that energy just translates into the cast and runs through the crew. So everyone was just pumped.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah.
There are also, of course, since this is a horror movie, some very gory scenes, but I'd like to say that the gore doesn't go over to the top, so it's not like a slasher movie.
Mm.
But how did you feel about this part where really we see a lot of blood and special effects?
Yeah, that was an intense scene, but kind of fun. I don't know, because like you're like, oh, I'm making a horror film.
Yeah,
you know, that, like, it felt really real. Like,
especially for you, Olivia, your role has been praised a lot, and I totally agree. I think it's the best really thing about the movie, which really stands out, is your acting. And I know your career seems to go off really. Is that also scary?
I mean, I just think the whole thing has been so surreal that I haven't actually processed it. Like, I think, I don't know, you know, you obviously you hope that your film's going to be successful, but, you know, like, it's like we made, like, an indie film in Adelaide, in Australia, in COVID. And I guess you don't really expect that it's going to have this kind of a response to it. So I feel like I haven't really processed anything yet. It feels like, yeah, super surreal.
It's also this kind of like teenage horror movie, you know, you have this group of teens, then something scary happens and they have to see how do we get out of that situation without being killed. And were there movies you drew upon, like we all know movies like It Follows or Ouija, which were an inspiration for you, or was there also maybe something which you would avoid, where you said, I don't want it to go into that vein?
I gotta think. It was interesting in like pre-production, like Danny and Michael would like show me a lot of clips as like references and be like, I want you to watch this, and like this is kind of the idea for what we're trying to do in this moment. But I don't know if I like necessarily like watched anything to get into it. Like we watched a couple of things. We watched Midsommar together.
Let the right one in.
Yeah.
Yeah, more to get into the essence and vibe of what we're creating, the suspense and building tension, more so like that.
So are you also maybe a bit worried about being typecast in horror thriller roles?
No,
I think it'd be fun to do another horror.
I'd love to do another horror.
Yeah, sure. It's great to do horror. It's my favorite genre. So, let's do more of it.
I don't want to be like Scream Queen.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm also down with doing more horror. I think horror is such a great genre. It's a lot of fun.
And what would you say like was kind of the craziest thing that happened on set? Because with the guys who made Raka Raka, I think most people want to know what was like the craziest.
What's the craziest thing?
Or one crazy. It doesn't have to be like...
Yeah.
Can also be the second craziest.
I think just like possession scenes.
Yeah. Like in terms of like... Like the like like what we shot?
Like a crazy moment.
Yeah.
Oh, either. What do you think is worth like... What should the listeners like hear about? Like also a fun story or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
The boys wanted to take us to a place called Talem Town, which is meant to be the most haunted town in Australia. And they wanted us to go to the town and
sleep in the church.
In the church.
Where there's like 26 people buried. buried under that church. It's like meant to be so haunted. And they were like, it's a bonding experience. I was like, what do you mean it's a bonding experience?
Bonding with the dead?
Like you wouldn't catch me dead. And they were like, we're going to bring the most haunted doll in Australia with us to the haunted town.
And we were like, this was like the first day we met them as well. They're like, this is what we're going to do. And we were like,
okay. I was like, I will see you guys after that trip.
That's probably one of the craziest things.
Yeah.
So you met the Australian Annabelle doll?
No, because I was like, absolutely not.
No, the doll wasn't coming near us.
I'm traumatized enough every day at work.
Would you say that this movie has something that's kind of apart, of course, from the fact that it's placed in Australia, it's the language and all that, but that's typically for Australian vibes that kind of sets it apart from all those typically American US small town horror teen movies?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is very like quintessentially Australian.
Yeah. But also universal,
yeah,
in its essence. Yeah.
But I think that's what's so interesting about it. Like, you know, like it, I haven't seen an Australian film like this where it really does explore like youth culture, like Australian youth culture and like the urban environment of Australia. Like I feel like so many Australian films are like really about like the outback or, you know, like being out in nature. And like, this is the first time that I've really seen something set in the city.
Yeah.
And, like, people are on Snapchat and, like, the references are so, like, grounded in, like...
Today.
Yeah, today.
Yeah.
There's also this kind of link between, you just mentioned Snapchat and the modern social media culture, like TikTok and all of that. And then we have this very ancient idea, which is, like, very medieval, also, like, connecting with the dead. We are, like, this weird hand, which looks like a ceramic doll's hand. How does it play together? Do you think like that we have this deep need, like when we are faced with death and disease, to connect to something very primal?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I feel like as humans, we're fascinated as well with the unknown.
Yeah.
With, you know, it kills us to not know things, and we want to, like, connect. And you say that.
Yeah. It's based about connection, yeah.
So this hand, it's like this cool tool which you have there. Where did it come from? How did the boys come up with that? And what was it made of? Was that just like a last minute idea, or did they develop that?
I think the hand was like, well, at least when I got the first draft,
it was always there.
It was like always an essential part, I think, of the narrative. But I don't actually know how they came up with it.
I mean, it's a very visual metaphor for holding on, you know? Yeah. So since you take the hand, which also looks like a hand, and then you are maybe able to see somebody who's dead.
Mm.
And how would you say, did you come up with this whole atmosphere? Like, was it easy to get into that scared mode when there are a lot of people around on set and it's basically all realistic?
Mm. I mean, I guess, yeah, like, the fact that so much of it is, like, practical, like, effects and like, you know, it's, like, prosthetics, like, you are really immersed in the world. So I think it's kind of easy to get into it and get into, like, the fear zone. And, like, they're, like, Danny and Michael are so great at, like, hyping you up. And, like, they'll take you aside and they'll really, like, be like, this is what we want, this is the scene, like, and, like, kind of get you into it. So...
And would you two like each to tell the listeners how you met Danny and Michael and how you got the roles?
Yeah, you went first.
Well, I auditioned for Haley.
So did I.
Initially, and so did Alex.
We had the first audition was the first possession, but from Haley's point of view. So
oh my God, there was like 12 characters in this audition.
The poor people who were reading with us to do the audition were just doing like 12 characters. Oh, it was so funny.
I was like, why did you pick, why?
So it started with that.
Yeah.
And then
like, I didn't hear anything back for ages because COVID. And then they randomly like came back and they were like, oh, would you like to audition for Mia?
Yeah.
And then I put down a self-tape and then that was that.
Yeah. Same. They asked me to put down a tape for Jade. And then we did chemistry reads.
You just mentioned the COVID time that kind of got the whole thing delayed for, like, I think nearly 2 years. So at least one full year. Do you think it kind of changed the mood in the movie or the things that it's about? Because after so many people died and you have a movie that is basically about connecting to the death, then there might be something in it.
I think just the role of connection within the film, wanting to connect with each other. We filmed it in a COVID bubble, so we weren't able to sort of go out and see people. So we were, it forced us to create and become a really intimate group and connected with each other. So I think it definitely made the experience probably more heightened and made us all closer. But I feel like that works for the film and it makes it more real.
Special. I mean, you know, really, like, we really were a family.
And do you think that you will continue to work a little bit with Danny and Michael, or is it now off to other shores?
I love 100%.
They're my boys. I love them.
Oh my god, what a
But I'm like, you know, I'd love to work on something else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything.
Danny and Michael are like the best energy and the funnest people.
Amazing filmmakers.
And before that happens, do you have other productions lined up that you would like to tell a little bit about or sneak peek into it?
Ooh. What have I got? I've got a couple of things coming out this year. Got two other films coming. No, I don't. That was a lie. I've got another film coming out and a couple of shows coming out.
I've got another film and another TV series coming in.
So. Very different to this. Very, very different.
So you're not going to be at the same casting again?
No.
Not planned.
Yeah.
But it's exciting. It's nice to do different projects and mix it up.
Okay, last question. What do you hope that viewers take from this movie? Or what would you tell viewers that they go at a big festival like Berlinale to watch this one?
I just want them to have a good time and be open to being scared and being emotional. Just like go in and have fun.
What's so great about horror films is like the sense of community that you have when you sit in a theater with people and you watch a horror film and you feel this like palpable energy. And you know, it's like so exciting to hear people like screaming or like, you know, like heckling or like saying things. And I think that this film really gives you the opportunity to experience that community in the theater.
Perfectly put. Thank you so much, Sophia Weidensender Jensen, for this interview. I talked to them both, and if you want to see Talk to Me, come to Berlinale, and of course you read with us when it has a German release. Goodbye, and listen to more stuff from Movie Break.